a little bit of everything and do some singing, some dancing, some chatting with the guests, the skits, the monologues, the comedy.
Holmberg's Morning Sickness.
Wonderful comedy.
It really is a lot of fun.
Rock Wars is upon us. I won last week. And, you know, we celebrated Francis Ford Coppola's birthday. And so I also want to celebrate another man's
John
birthday.
John
Oates? That's right. Yes. Ravi Shankar, who was a heavy influence on the Beatles' heroin addiction, I think, down in India, and brought the sitar, for the most part, to young American culture in the 60s and became this weird kind of guru musically, and then stuck around. So it's like the Beatles' worst thing they ever did was drag Ravi Shankar's awful sitars up here. But then we found ways to make the sitar work. East meets West music festivals started happening, and you know, Indian culture started to come in. Oh yeah, I forgot Marcus Meng is here too. Hi, Marcus.
Hi.
He's here.
Here, lots of sitars on Into the Pit.
This one, I was just going to say, this is designed to throw you a little bit. I want a. It doesn't have to be a sitar, but it has to be heavily influenced by the east, the eastern
ancient
culture, Indian culture.
That's
not Cleveland.
You said eastern or Indian?
Eastern Indian.
Okay.
Not ours. The eastern
ones. Oh, so okay. So,
so you know, the Indian culture. Not the feathers.
Okay. Was it that tough, Brett?
Yeah, and he struggled. He's staring at me kind of blankly.
No,
so.
I was looking for some kind of
as I play sitar music.
One.
So it can be referenced to... you know, one of the Ganesh or, you know, their gods or something, or polytheism or some sort of thing that's an Eastern culture push into the music. Sitars would definitely be a plus. If it's got a sitar in it, you're on it. Because he tried to introduce it to us, and for a while there we liked it. So a song with a sitar.
Don't include we.
Well,
some
that's
of
very
you
true. I think we've done the sitar thing in the past, but I want, like, Eastern culture. I want influenced with a very Eastern vibe. If you want to help out, 585-9800 is the phone number. You can text 97936. You can email Holmberg at 98kupd.com. Dots, not Cleveland, Indian culture, influenced rock songs. That's how we do this thing. It's as easy as it gets. I don't want any more of that stuff. Ready?
So I can't do any Mohawk metal from Connecticut.
No, you're still not following.
Okay.
Again.
I got you.
Tikka masala, not...
Not
Wahoo.
Fry bread.
Right. Now, if I have to explain it to Brady, it's that way.
See?
Tikka masala, not, you know, Famous Dave's. They eat there? I think they eat there. You want to help out? Holmberg at 98kupd.com. You can go to 97936 or you can call us. 585-9800. Rock Wars coming up next.
If the younger generation doesn't get into
rock,
then guess what? An art form has died.
It's time for the musical battle of weekly supremacy known as Rock Wars. Marcus Meng joins us from Into the Pit, Sunday nights 9 to midnight. Filthy devil music all night long for all you people who need it. He provides it and does it quite well, I'll add.
Great Easter last Sunday?
Oh, yeah.
How was the Easter show? Pretty solid.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorites.
Yeah, you like Easter and Christmas to fall. Well, Easter's always on a Sunday, but the Christmas
when Christmas
on Sunday,
falls on Sunday, yeah.
You left the song list here. It came in Monday morning. It was still there.
Oh, that's just a few. Yeah.
Yeah, just a few of them.
Song list is on the website. So.
I thought that was intentional.
Your favorite Easter song for Sunday? Which one that you played?
I did like God Dethroned Rusty Nails.
All right. Very nice. Yeah, it's funny because it's true. All right. Let's get to it. It's Ravi Shankar's birthday, and he was... this weird, annoying, almost influence on music for a long time. But it did bring the Eastern cultured music to us a little bit. We started to introduce ourselves into those weird drum circle, sitar circle type things for a long time. And it leaked into rock in its own weird ways, especially with the Beatles. But it's still around, and thought maybe for Ravi's birthday. Brett struggled with this mightily, that that a song that was influenced by the East, the Dots, not the Cleveland, that Indian culture came in. Yeah, not Wahoo. Dots, not Wahoo. That came into our musical world. So I'll start with you, Chair. Where did you end up going with it?
Well, actually, it has also leaked into black metal. And so we went all the way to the Czech Republic for this band. They actually are heavily influenced.
One of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially for Indian music.
Yeah, exactly. But they're heavily influenced by Hindi and the religion itself. The second album relies heavily on themes of esoteric Hinduism and Vedic rituals.
Okay.
Even the album and all the song titles are even used in that alphabet.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, that's very into the Eastern. Well played, boys.
Yes, the band is Cult of Fire. The album is esoteric meditation of death. Kali Ma is the name
Kali
of the song.
Kali Ma. Isn't that the guy from
Temple
Indian?
Of Doom.
Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
Are you playing it? Is that what this is right here?
It's atmospheric black metal.
Kali Ma. Kali Ma.
Here, look, it's a 6-minute song. Let me jump.
You can just jump
death metal. It doesn't.
Sitar all the time.
No. Interesting.
It's it really good. It's like really good, relax, like just background type music too that just chills him.
Sure.
Really good Sitar might use, Bob.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really good.
Really good.
I'm sorry, Beach Boys. Really we'll get back to it later.
All right. Well done, Chair. I have no idea what that was. What was
that
the
makes
name
two
of it?
Of us.
I forgot the name of it. What? The what was the name of it?
The name of the band is Cult of Fire. Song is Kali Ma.
Okay.
Just think Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Okay. Well, was that Indian? I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Brady?
They were in India, John.
I know, but I just didn't know if it was an Indian.
Oh, Jesus.
Should have went Cleveland Indian.
I didn't know
team.
If they cast one.
I went with one of the more memorable sitar use
overkill.
In a song. Yeah. Not overkill. Check them out.
My
boys, they don't have any sitar that I know of.
Well, they're from New Jersey.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, Keith Richards danced all over the sitar and Paint It Black.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Associated with Vietnam.
And you two looked at each other like, damn it.
Yeah. No, we actually looked at that one ahead of time.
There you go. It's got definitely got the Indian influence in it. Good song. Heavy sitar.
I see a Richter as I want it painted black.
All over. It
holds up no colors anymore.
Is that Keith playing that? Or is it Ravi?
It could be Ravi.
Did they hire out?
Maybe Ravi went through the UK like a firestorm.
Brett made a good point. If anybody should know this topic, it's Marcus because he works in IT. And that's an excellent point. You deal with this culture all the time.
Oh, hello, Marcus Meng. What can we help you with, my friend?
Yeah. I got a question. What was the song that you were questioning Brady on beforehand?
I went full. The other route I was going was full Indian. My band Sata Hey with Rock On. It's an Indian rock band.
Isn't that kind of just cheating anyway?
It's pandering is what it's called.
But this is...
It's reverse.
Yeah, this is Western influence on him.
That's why I switched it.
You just picked an Indian. I didn't say pick an Indian.
You didn't say not pick an Indian.
One little, two little, what's the difference?
I'm surprised you didn't pick that one.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wait, which ones are you talking about? Which savages do you mean?
Mine is more modern than Brady's and more palatable than whatever the chair chose. It's the lead singer of Korn. And he had a song called Basic Needs. And the whole middle of it just goes completely like Bhopal. Like right in the center of this thing. It just goes into this crazy Indian. It's a cool song, too. The whole thing is totally... Like, you just start doing the dance. Arms go out of your side. You got like 8 before the song's over. And elephants walk by. And then the chorus kicks in, which is awesome. Just to prove it's Indian influence. Scooch up a little bit. Give me a little.
Stick with Korn, Jonathan.
Because it's a cool. This actually is really cool. Have you heard it?
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of this guy.
I didn't like the album. This song is cool as hell. Get ahead to where he's singing, I say.
The end.
Stood out to me. The rest of it, I didn't like it all. There you go. Basic Needs. Jonathan Davis. Very Eastern influence.
We should have won a Cleveland baseball team for this one. This is ridiculous.
You could have confused it.
What kicked off this topic, though? What did you see
Ravi
that suddenly...
Shankar's birthday.
Oh, the birthday. Yeah. Okay.
Right. He's 70-something, isn't he? He's got to be older than
Ravi,
that.
Ravi, he'd be 120, 101.
Right? But in Indian years, 70?
That's
like dog years?
Yeah. They're different. They age slower than us.
Guys, this is obviously judgmental of me, but how did the chair not go with Dandar?
Yeah, Dandar.
What do you mean, how? I think it's pretty obvious.
Yeah. I don't know that it is.
It might be.
Because that's not influenced
close
by
enough.
No
that's
culture.
No influence.
That's no
that's
culture.
Close enough. That song has no culture whatsoever.
I blame no culture for this. I couldn't put this on a people if you wanted to. That is purely Dandarian. John Gordon, get over here and pick one, stuck in traffic guy.
Just made it.
The three choices once again. Urge Overkill, You'll Never Be a Woman. What was it?
I don't even know.
Cult of Fire, that's Kali Ma. Right.
Brady chose the Stones, and I chose Jonathan Davis.
Love the title, Kali Ma.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
That means he's not going to pick it.
Yeah. Yep.
But this is an easy win for Brady.
Oh, you're going with the Stones.
Pandering
come on.
Once again from Bogan.
Brett, calm down.
Sean Phils is right. He texts in. He goes, dude, how do you not vote for Holmberg? That thing sounded like you were in an opium drug den. It took me right to the source. It does sound like you should be smoking on a hookah.
Is Phils calling from an opium drug den right now?
Yeah, he runs one now. He can't keep a job. That's the only way he's going to make ends meet. All right, we'll go with the Stones then. Damn you, Brady. And happy birthday to Ravi Shankar. Thanks for not influencing too much of our music. Because, whoo! Now, Within You, Without You by the Beatles, Norwegian Wood by the Beatles, also sitar heavy. A lot of the stuff George Harrison did. But
and his daughter, Nora Jones.
That's George Harrison's daughter?
Ravi
Shankar. Oh, I was going to say. Yeah, Ravi. He's got like 1,000 kids, doesn't he? Didn't he like blow through tons of ladies?
Music wasn't the only thing he shared in the UK.
No, he was doing some nailing. The Beatles found him and drug him back over here, which is insane. Anyway, well, congratulations. We'll go with the low-hanging fruit of Brady's win, which is the Rolling Stones.
Not surprised.
No, no, no. But hey, it's a win.
Winner.
Yeah, yeah. Wins. Low-hanging fruit sometimes. Champions. That's how we got Dane Cook. So it's just a fact. A
lot of sanguines.
Yeah, sometimes you just have it, and you're like, man, that's taken off. So there you go. Toledo loaded up. Meanwhile, Dandar.
Can we listen to that instead?
People think this is Indian influenced. That's racist to Indians. It's just mean. I don't think it's something you should ever blame on anyone else.
It's just bad production.
It's bad everything.
Everything's nothing good coming out of this.
The production might be the only good thing on it.
I thought someone just fell into a drum kit.
It's tune-up day at Guitar Center.
That was a tumble during the middle of the song.
Yeah. The one guy just fell off the drum set, but he recovered. Ugh. And Mo, Arizona's favorite morning show on in the middays, just texted over and said, I'm disappointed no one picked Punjabi and Jay-Z, Beware. I don't think I'm allowed to play Punjabi. I think that's racist.
Yeah, we can play Poon.
We'll figure it out. Anyway, all right. Well, Toledo's taking forever loading up a song that's got to be in our system. Doesn't it?
Let's just do the entertainment drill.
We should.
We'll get back to that. Larry can play the Stones.
Things are moving around on my computer now. You're actually right. There we go. All right, we're going to do Paint It Black because Brady said so. Brady's the winner this week. Dandar is behind us. There you go. Your Indian influence is a bunch of Englishmen. It's 98.
A little bit of everything. I do some singing, some dancing, some chatting with the guests, the skits, the monologues, the comedy.
Holmberg's Morning Sickness.
Wonderful comedy.
It really is. A lot of fun.
Congratulations, Brady. You did it. We're all so proud.
Nah.
It's the Stones there. Marcus Meng here, once again, 7 till midnight. He changes his name for the first couple hours.
Yes, thank you. Music. I would like to note that I am not proud of Brady.
No, you're not? Yeah, you don't
not
find any
all.
Pride with that?
No. Nope.
Can't say
just
that.
Just a little?
No.
No. Proud of John Gordon, though, because he fought through the traffic today, and we're going to start doing that again. Traffic's back, John. It's this damn vaccine, I tell you. Without that vaccine, we'd be driving free again. I liked it better the old way. I miss 2020. I'll
lock
say
it down.
I'll be the first to say it. I missed last year. Damn it. People driving like idiots. I watched a guy this morning on the 51. We're going right by the Thomas exit, and he starts to exit and realizes, oh, no, no, I don't want to exit here. Like he was like drifting off and just makes this abrupt move last second. And by the one more coat of paint on that truck, he's into the gore point. I don't know how he avoided it. And I'm in my car making all sorts of crazy Nathan Lane noise. Oh, oh.
What do you expect him to do?
Horrible.
Like
take a couple extra minutes to, I don't know, go around. And
yes, at 4:45 in the morning where you got to fight all those people.
I made an did an accident, and I just got to go through the other way. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. I drifted off. I fell asleep. I got on the off-ramp. Things will be fine. I'll just circle back. Nope. I'll do it now. It was crazy. I don't know how we missed it. So everybody's driving like morons because we haven't been in traffic for a year, and I guess we forgot how to cooperate.
What's driving?
Yeah, we never did it well before, and now we just didn't do it together for a while, and we're trying to jump back in this thing. It's not going to be easy. It's time now for the entertainment drill. It's brought to you by our friends at ReactDefense.com, the home of Tactical Black. I got an email from a guy who trains there named Ethan, and he goes, thanks a lot, jackass, because of your gimp body, we had to do one-arm defense training the other night. So they've implemented it already into the classes, your one-arm defense, and I'll tell you what, you will get worn out. And you will get you'll learn real fast how to make your body part of your weapon as far as like ducking and dodging. Your defense becomes really important when you're a one-armed warrior. And, you know, once again, I've said it 100 times. Nobody out there who's a bad guy cares what your current physical condition is. In fact, the weaker you are, the better for them. The last thing they expect is somebody to fight back who's got an arm in a sling like I do, or Brett's got his cast. I don't know if casts are as good, but you see a dude in a cast that's all the way up to his elbow.
Yeah.
He can't move around very good, and you're an easy mark. So try not to be that. Publicly, try to be somebody who walks with confidence and is like, all right, you want to mess with me? I got something in my pocket. I'm going to try to avoid it, but I definitely have some tools under my belt that you may not know about and especially aren't getting training anywhere else. I mean, nobody else is going through the motions of saying, all right, let's just say you're injured. Try to fight and learn how to defend yourself from that. It's fantastic. They've got the rape prevention seminar coming up a little bit. They get mad at me because I call it the rape seminar. That does sound misleading. I go to those at another place. But the rape prevention seminar is phenomenal. And if you're a lady who has to do anything, especially with real estate going as big as it is, real estate agent women, and be great for Messiah, who has to be at a bar late at night with a bunch of drunks and stuff, and they got those weirdos. You see these ladies go from nothing 0 to 60 with confidence at these seminars. It's amazing. And they offer these types of things all the time. You got to check it out, reactdefense.com. You're not getting this anywhere else. I promise you that. Nowhere near what they're showing you there, and you're going to get in great shape while you do it. It's right there at reactdefense.com. Phoenix, Chandler, and Glendale, check out their store, tacticalblackvault.com as well. It's the home of Tactical Black Self-Defense. Brady, entertain me.
When Joss Whedon took over directing duties at Justice League, upset a lot of people. And the stories are coming out. Ray Fisher, who played Cyborg, has been very vocal about Whedon's alleged abuses.
Off.
Yeah. Well, a recent article about his allegations includes this new revelation. Whedon also was a jerk to Gal Gadot.
You say that like I have a problem with it.
I know it's not correct, but Gal Gadot. Gal Gadot. I guess he was bragging that he had it out with Gal, and he told her he's the writer. And she's going to shut up and just say the lines, or he can make her look incredibly stupid in this movie.
Totally true.
And he did.
And he did. Yeah, and he
made all of them look
remarkable
stupid.
Success with that part. By the way, directors can talk to you like that because
they're the boss.
You're the boss. And also, you can have a jerk boss, but and I don't like that they're like, he treated Gal Gadot unfairly. Like, if it was a man, you ever Quentin Tarantino's speech to Jamie Foxx about Django Unchained? He told him before, and I don't know how Quentin gets away with this. I read this article where he said he didn't want him doing any of that jive stuff. Said, I'm not sure I want you in this role because it's going to be a bunch of N-word this and N-word that and N-word this, and you're going to be all jive. I don't want that. So Jamie Foxx comes on, first scene they shoot, and Quentin's seeing exactly what he thought he'd see, and he says, cut, and he goes, this isn't right. He's walking around, chicken walk, and all that. And it was just all racist stuff. And he goes, this is, and he explains it to him. And Jamie was like, I'm not sure I like this. Like, this guy is just dressing me down on everything I planned for. But that's how a director has to be. He's got the vision. You're just reading the lines.
Should have brought Toledo's kid in then.
That's right, to finish him off.
No problems.
Paradise Valley school bus and Toledo's kid would have handled this in a heartbeat.
The online.
And then he said at the end, and here's your orange drink. He's like, I want this. God damn it.
Where's my
I'm angry at you right now, but God damn it. You got a creamsicle back
Coach
there?
Coach Daquan.
Coach Daquan. And that's good Orange Julius, my friends. Which one of y'all mother said it? Whoop, my button didn't work. There it is.
Quentin got away with it because he just gave everyone foot rubs when he started telling them.
He does like that.
The online movement to make LeVar Burton the next Jeopardy host is picking up some steam. 155,000 signatures now.
Why?
You know who'd be great at it? I thought of this last night. I was talking to a friend of mine, Dennis Miller. To add a little life to it, he's smart. He's funny. He understands how to host. I don't think he'd get in the way. He gets that part, too. Aaron Rodgers is awful. I don't know if you guys have been watching. Wow.
Missed it last night.
Boring.
Is he on all week?
Yeah, 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Of Aaron Rodgers. And it's all for charity. He's got a charity. All the stuff goes to a charity that he's working with. So
allegedly.
Yeah.
Well, Pratt's not filling in.
You're right. Yeah, Dave Pratt's not hosting.
We
all the money.
Know this.
We know some money's going to a charity. It's not like Pratt's putting it in his pocket. You're right.
Sylvester Stallone will not appear in Creed 3.
He's got to die eventually. He's had cancer.
Yeah.
Did he have cancer in Creed 2?
For sure.
Well, I mean, was he in it? I don't even see Creed 2, so I don't know. I liked the first one, but not as much as everybody else did. It was.
Yeah, I can't.
It was okay.
I can't remember.
Hey, I got the lady cancer from Adrian off of the last movie. My ovaries are rotten.
But Stallone fans have something to look forward to. He recently announced he's recut Rocky IV, and the recut is complete.
Why? What was wrong with it? Yeah.
Just four?
It seems to be, yeah.
What was the...
You know, I didn't like the way it ended. Yours can change. Yours can change. We all can change. Adrian!
He and Drago get together and have a union. And they live a long,
What could change in Rocky IV that would make it...
Nothing that I can think of.
Maybe he cleans it up.
Maybe he's got he should cut up Rocky V and get rid of that.
He should just cut the beginning and the end and just eliminate the middle of Rocky V.
There's two more driving montages.
I got another montage I have to
add. Well, you
got to
include another Frank Stallone song in there somewhere. Probably owes his brother a favor.
We owe my brother one more tune. Frankie!
Maybe that's it. He wins the fight and he goes, what I really, really want right now, Russia, is my brother to come up here in the ring and sing his hit song from Staying Alive.
Or maybe they do an undercard match that Paulie fights Logan Paul.
Logan Paulie?
Yeah.
Logan Paulie. That's what they just changed him into.
Come on over here. Hey, Rock, I want to fight that kid on my podcast. I don't know, Paulie. I don't know what a podcast is. I'm going to fight him, punk.
Use my name,
Logan Paulie. I don't know that, Paulie. That sounds kind of dumb. We're doing it. Put it in the movie.
I'll put it in one of the old ones. Logan Paulie is the undercard. That's dumb. You're an idiot. I enjoyed it too much, but you're an idiot.
This was kind of disturbing. The Miracle on Ice team, from the hockey,
1980 hockey.
63-year-old Mark Pavlich took his own
big
life.
Player.
Yeah, and he
tell him how he took his life. This sounds like a murder to me. You're an Italian. You want this to sound like suicide? Listen to how he committed suicide.
Put a plastic bag over his head.
Had four shots in the back.
Right, he got shot in the head. You can't.
Where's the problem?
You can't kill yourself with a bag over your head.
Yeah, you can.
No, your body would naturally tear it open. Absolutely. You won't sit there with a bag over your head and go, this is going on.
Only cowards would tear it open. Right. Allegedly.
Well, this is from the guy who hosts the Devil's Show. But you can't, you'd have to strap in and have that bag over your head. Your body would, it's the same reason you can't, without weight, drown yourself. Your body just says, we're not doing this.
What if you tie the bag on your head?
Well, that would be something you would then untie. Like, so long as your hands
and
are
free.
And
then you cut your fingers off.
Or you'd rip the bag open. Okay.
Yeah, I can't untie it.
What you're saying makes sense. None of that's in the report.
That's not how I would have done it.
We found him fingerless with a bag on his head. I'm like, Marcus was right.
You got to create a little mystery
but
with your
right
murders.
Right now, so long as everything's working. But it did turn out he had heavy brain damage.
PTSD
and
he had some
CTE
mental
stuff. Yeah.
Probably owed somebody some money.
And the fingers were found in the bag.
Oh, my God. What an amazing suicide.
Like popping around like a snow globe. When he's...
Every time he'd breathe, they'd entertain him for a second.
I could write some Law & Order episodes for sure.
Yeah, but they'd all be awful. not one of them would be any good.
A 1938.
Oh, this guy says, I hope that Rocky's rewrite for Rocky IV has something to do with Polly's sex robot. Remember he had that robot that took a life?
Oh, yeah.
Rosie. Yeah, she likes me. What are you going to do? I'm sticking it in it. Grease up, Rosie.
I think it was Rosie.
Oh, my God.
A 1938 Superman comic book sold for a record $3.25 million.
Nostalgia is going crazy right now. All that stuff is selling like huge numbers.
And then Dave Grohl announces his new memoir, The Storyteller. I think basically it's a lot of the stories that he told during the pandemic on his little podcast.
Whatever it is, that guy can weave a tale. He's engaging to listen to. Dave Grohl is he's one of those special people in entertainment that you just, everything he does, you're like, I like listening to you. Like, he's funny. He's good at telling stories. He should host Jeopardy.
It'll come out on October 5th.
All right. It better be on a, like, he better read it to me on an audiobook because I'm not reading anything, especially if it's disappointing. That's it. We're all done. Wednesday's in the books. Thank you, Marcus. We'll see you again next Wednesday, and then everyone else can listen to you on Sunday and then put bags with fingers on their heads. And how many times do you suppose you've been responsible for a guy while he's chopping his fingers off to put the bag on his head? It's like, you know what? Marcus kept me going.
Allegedly?
Yeah, no, for real.
For real?
Probably so.
Probably a couple.
several people.
There's a couple.
I wonder how many suicides Marcus's show's caused.
You mean saved.
Or prevented.
No.
Yeah, prevented.
Zero prevention.
Prevented.
Yeah, I'm going to zero on that.
I'm going to say that you're on the forefront of the cutting movement. I think a lot of those people have scarred thighs because of you. But you know what? To each their own. They seem to like it, and they keep coming back. Into the Pit, 9 to midnight, Sunday nights, the holiest of holies, and Marcus. That's it. We're done. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow right here in the Morning Sickness. So long!
If the younger generation doesn't get into rock, then guess what? An art form has died.